This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra-strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Texas Rangers, opening day on Thursday on this radio station. Before every first pitch, it is a 30-minute pregame with our guy Jared Sandler, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell. We got Ross in for Pepe and Aiden in the back here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I do have some over-unders from Bet Online.
That's going to be a great sports day next Thursday. Ranger game, then right into the Sweet 16. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be solid.
Man, it's next Thursday. Because I was like, I always want to try to, I get FOMO on opening day at home. Really with the tailgating outside, just walking around to the different parking lots. We got this 2 or 3 week weather window of this is always when I'm like, oh, I wish I had a screen door. Wish I had a screen door. It doesn't cost $5,000 for me to just keep open. But then you're worried about the dust hitting you in the face.
The car wash business
this last week.
Oh,
around the corner.
Oh, it was insane. Like I went to one and it was literally, there was like 20 cars deep. I was like, yep.
Corey Seager over unders.
Okay.
If you have a garage, you park in your garage, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's a storage center right now.
Batting average for Corey this year, over under 280.
Over.
I think over, but slightly up to 283. Something like that.
Okay. Last year he was at 278. The year before that, 327.
Oh.
The year before that, 245. The year before that, 306 and 307 the year before that.
Okay, so he's due for a 300.
He's due. Yeah.
I'm going to go over. Total home runs for Seager, 28 and a half.
Over.
Yeah, this is one that is
health.
Solely about health.
Yeah.
So I'll say over.
His last 3 years, 30, 33, and 33.
Yeah.
So I would take the over on that as well. Total runs batted in, 82 and a half.
That better be an over. That if that's not an over, that means people are obviously not getting on base in front of him.
Well, last year was 74 in 123 games. The year before, 96 in 119 games. And then when he played in 151 games his first year in Arlington, 83 runs batted in. I'm going to take the over on that.
Seems I'll take less. The over, too. Yeah, I'm like over on all these.
Total hits, 130 and a half.
I don't have a good feel on that. That's a games played thing.
Let's move on to Simeon. Dangerous to get into some of these next ones. Over under for Simeon's home runs, 23.5.
Under.
Why, Bob?
Because it's just he has not looked like he's got the same power in the last couple of years. He's regressed in that front.
We knew when they signed him that their window with him as a prime player was about 3 years, and that's about what it was.
His 3 years here, power wise, after hitting 45 in Toronto the year before, 26, 29, 23. Has the Simeon deal been worth it?
He's been a good player. He's been a good player, but we knew that the end of the deal was going to age a little bit poorly. Like, look, the Mets signed Juan Soto; they got him 15 years.
Yeah.
The end of the Juan Soto contract is not going to be very good for the Mets. I mean, he is going to age.
How old do you think Simeon is?
He's 34, right?
34. Well done.
And this is about the time, 30, that 34, 35 season, you really, everyone across the board, doesn't matter who you, if you play late in your career and you're not on, you know, some kind of juice. Like even, you know, Beltre had a little bit of a down year and then he figured it out. All these guys, they all do it from Cal Ripken to Derek Jeter to A-Rod, every single one of them. You hit 35 and something happens and then you figure it out. You figure it out for whatever reason.
Which, I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, wins above replacement, their World Series year, he was number one in the American League in wins above replacement. And he finished third in MVP, won a Silver Slugger. So to me, that's that right there, that year where you want to tell it, that makes it worth it.
Simeon runs batted in from Vegas, over under 77.5.
Man, his is so close to Seager's.
Last year, he was at 74 runs batted in. The year before, 100. The year before, 83. The good thing in calculating Marcus's numbers, you usually know he's going to play all the games.
Yeah, I'll take the over. He's going to play enough games.
Adolis!
Ooh.
Wild card! Over under home run total, I think he said he wanted to hit 50 this year. That was the goal. 25.5.
I'll take the over. I think he's going to have a lot of his other peripheral numbers, like his OPS stuff. I think they might be a little bit, they are what they are at this point.
Yeah.
But he's going to run into, you know, 28.
Yeah, I'll say over on the home runs.
So the last 3 years, he's played in a minimum of 148 games. That surprised me.
He's out there.
I feel like it would be a little less. And that 148 is sandwiched in between 156 games and 154 games played. The home run totals the last 3 years, 27, 39, and 25. He is 32 years old. I would take the over on that. Runs batted in, 84.5.
Under. I'll take under on that one.
Under.
Runs batted in last year, 85. Year before, he was at 107 and 101. Wyatt Langford.
Over.
Oh, baby. Over all of it. Yeah.
Over everything.
18.5 home runs.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Over.
He'll hit that by June.
78.5 runs batted in.
He'll hit that by end of July.
Over.
Runs scored is in here. Why are you so quick and positive on Wyatt?
I think that...
Because the end of his season... We should have had that same result with Evan Carter 2.0.
We should have. We really should have. The end of his season gave me so much boost coming in. I think that... Is he the best player on the team, right? Like at the end of this year, he will be the best player on this team.
He's not going to be better than Corey Seager.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be better
than Seager. Well, he may not have a better year than Seager, but by the end of this year, it will be his team.
Woo! Okay, write it on the wall.
Because Seager is starting to get towards, like, he's about to, like, leave his prime. He can see the end of his prime.
If you just take his September numbers, Wyatt Langford.
Seager's 30.
Yeah, I mean, that's like,
You just said it was the end at, like, 34.
30, your prime is technically, like, they say 26 to 31. That's how the nerds break it down. So he can, like, you know, but that's when you're, like, you're still at your peak. So I'm very high on Wyatt.
If you just take his September numbers, Wyatt Langford, and obviously, Danger, you extrapolate it out over a full season, but we're talking about a 26-game sample in September. 162-game pace with that is 50 home runs, 125 RBIs, and 44 doubles with 156 runs scored.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying he had a crazy month to end the season. That's encouraging.
Jake Berger's total home run over under is 25.5. I got Evaldi, but let's get to DeGrom.
Ooh.
Total wins. The over under is 8.5.
I look with DeGrom
under.
Ooh.
Yeah. To get 8 wins in today's baseball with first of all, coming off Tommy John, they're not going to push him. You still have to get 5 innings minimum to get a win. I don't know how many wins he's actually going to qualify for because they're not going to push him.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I don't know about the qualification, and then obviously he could get hurt and miss time.
Like he might pitch well enough to win 8 games. Right. I just don't know that they're going to push him to get beyond 5 innings enough.
The over-under DeGrom ERA is 2.99.
I think I'll take the under. I think he'll pitch well. Again, I just think it's the innings.
I'll take under.
Total strikeouts, 155.5.
Under.
Under.
There it is. Your over-unders from Bet Online on your Rangers season in Diamond Cavs.
CBS Sports came out with their top 100 baseball players in the sport for this year. And the first thing I wanted to see, I was like, all right, you know, where are the outliers? How many Rangers are on the list? There are 3 members of the Texas Rangers on this list. By the way, where does Mike Trout land?
Top 100? 50. Because he's been away too long.
75 or below.
91.
I don't have a problem with it.
He is behind Mark Vientos.
Yeah, let's not name the 90 people.
No, I'm just going to... I thought Bobby's
going to whisper in your ear, yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
He is behind Mark Vientos. Who he play for?
Oh, no. No. Toronto?
Close, Mets.
Yeah. Well, look, we all know that they're not crapping on a skill.
No, it's the health. Yeah. It's the health. The Rangers have 3 players in the top 100, tied with the Cleveland Guardians. Directly behind teams with 4 players, Giants, Orioles, Mets, Red Sox, Yankees. The Dodgers have the most. They have 9. Braves and Cubs have 7. So here we go. At number 67, Marcus Semien. Sandwiched between...
You better be going bottom up.
Bottom.
That's what she said.
Yes, I am. He is right ahead of Roky Sasaki, the Dodgers pitcher, and right behind Zach Gallen, the Diamondbacks pitcher. Semien's offensive performance declined, however, remains a defensive force, still quite adept at taking the extra base that gives him a foundation of value for 2025, even if he doesn't rebound at the plate. Next up on the list, can you name the other 2?
Eovaldi and Seager.
Eovaldi and Seager?
Well, Seager's definitely one.
Yeah, Eovaldi and Seager.
Seager is the top one. He is at number 15. All right, and okay. I'm going to say.
Is it Eovaldi or Evan Carr? I mean, DeGrom? Wyatt Langford.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking, are they going to give him the DeGrom treatment like Trout?
Yeah, DeGrom will get the Trout treatment.
Eovaldi.
Eovaldi. Okay, so Seager's at 15. What they say is, even with the penchant for injury, highly valuable, he hits like an all-star first baseman while manning the key position of shortstop. And the third Ranger on here, sandwiched between Austin Riley, who's also right behind Vlad Jr., and just ahead of Jackson Merrill of the Padres and Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks and Logan Webb, is Wyatt Langford.
Oh!
Wow.
As the number 4 overall pick in 23, big upside, fresh off a distinguished rookie season. Put up a 111 OPS plus, 16 homers, 25 doubles, 19 steals, fielding in left. He'll take the next step in 25 as a 23-year-old.
So that's, I mean, that there's some projection there,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But, I mean, FanGraphs just the other day, they've started doing their positional power rankings that they're putting out. And FanGraphs has the Rangers left field spot as the number 2 left field in all of baseball with Wyatt Langford. So FanGraphs is also way up on Langford breaking out.
Here's some of the guys in the top 50 he is ahead of. Aaron Nola, Manny Machado, Rafael Devers, Chris Sale.
Oh, my.
Ronald Acuna, Brent Rooker, who had a 30-homer season, Bryce Harper.
Wyatt's ahead?
Ahead of all those guys. So
who's projecting this?
CBS Sports.
All right.
And like I said, I mean, you want to feel bad? Cole Reagans is 27.
That sucks. But it sucked.
You won a World Series.
We got over that last year when ESPN told us he was left-handed DeGrom. So
opening
Freeman at 25, and then your top is obviously Shohei, Bobby Jr., Aaron Judge, Gunner, and then Soto at 5.
Opening day happening Thursday here on your home of Rangers baseball. As always, Jared Sandler with your 30-minute pregame. The Hall of Famer Eric Nadell, along with our boy Hixie, with the call on DFW Sports Station. Pete DeBoer is not happy at all with his hockey team. And should the Dallas Mavericks be on the contending or rebuild list in the offseason? That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
Behind the net, Granlund for Duchesne. Quick shot, pinballs, and loose, score! Marchment!
Victory plus with the call. If you judge by Pete DeBoer afterwards, Stars lucky to get a point. He was not happy after. Said we've been leaking for more than a week right now. That level of effort is not acceptable after the Stars played last night. And Spittle added, they just haven't played well recently. Lots of sloppy play minus the goaltending as the Stars yesterday at home, not making their coach happy, losing to Tampa 3-2.
Yeah, look, in a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with losing to Tampa. Tampa's a good team.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are commenting on this. My buddy TK texted me. He goes, rightfully so, that he is upset. He's a hockey diehard. He goes, it was a pitiful effort last night, and it's not a good time of year to be going backwards. And they kind of are. Now they've played good teams. It's not like they're playing terrible teams and they're losing 4 of 6. You know, they've been playing over the last 10 days. They've been playing the likes of Winnipeg and Vancouver and Colorado. You know, they've played solid teams. Tampa. These are good teams. But, you know, it's not a good time of year to start losing.
Lakers lost last night to Milwaukee, but no Luka. Resting him, no Dame either. NBA basketball, get excited. And tonight, the Mavs are back in action, hosting the Detroit Pistons. The upstart Detroit Pistons. One of the stories of the year, 7:30 tip at the AAC. Yeah.
Chauncey's done a great job with them.
That was Shaq,
that
right?
was Shaq.
I told you Shaq doesn't watch. I can't believe he got 15. Was it 15 a year?
Yeah.
15 a year to not watch basketball.
It's a hell of a gig. It's a hell of a gig if you can get it. If Detroit's coming into town, though, tonight, I wonder how much Cade Cunningham versus Mavericks support is there tonight. Cade Cunningham, local guy, yeah. and one of the more up-and-coming stars, and a guy who's been giving way more love to Dirk in the last few weeks than the Dallas Mavericks have in the last 2 years.
How's the attendance been at the AAC, by the way, recently? Has anyone noticed?
It's hard to tell because I mean, they count everything as a sellout.
Yeah, they just list sales, so you don't know actually like what actually got scanned in to come into the building. They don't count that, but it has not been. You see empty patches in the arena.
Obviously, you got to really be in the arena to be able to tell. They're definitely not going to show it on TV.
I mean, we knew we had that article from Dallas Observer last week. People talking about, sales in restaurants around here down 15-20%. And so, I mean, you would assume, foot traffic probably similarly down.
2025 attendance. Hang on a second. Let me hit this in another category. Nope, still the same. Mavericks are number one. 702,318 total attendance. Bulls, two. Can we launch and investigate? Can we get Doge? Can Elon look into NBA attendance, please? Mavs and Bulls lead the league in attendance, according to ESPN's total numbers.
Wow.
Now, you found an interesting list. I think this is a great question. I was like, we could even save this, but I wanted to be selfish and talk it before I was in San Antonio.
No, you're good. So ESPN was talking about rebuild rankings, where certain teams rank around the NBA. And, you know, it's like they're looking at the strategy, the path to contentions, and stuff. And, you know, it says at the start of the article, you could just jump to a team and it lists a bunch of teams. I'm like, I'll just jump to the Mavericks because the Mavericks are certainly going to be on this list in a rebuild.
Didn't even have to hit control F this time.
Nope. Well, they're not on that list. There's 11 teams on here. Atlanta, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Toronto, Utah, Washington. You know, those are all the teams on this list. But there's three wildcard teams. I was like, well, maybe the Mavs are on here. And it's Philadelphia. It's Phoenix.
Philadelphia should rebuild.
Like, it's like they're on the list of like, hey, you're a wild card. We could see you guys deciding to make a rebuild right now.
All right.
Phoenix.
Yes.
And the Mavericks. So the Mavericks are on the wild card. They have, it says, and you want to be happy? Offseason cap space. None.
I love it. I'm so thrilled. I mean, what? They were talking about having to. Isn't that why they've kept Daryl Armstrong on staff? Is because they may need him to tap in and play basketball for him?
Yeah, maybe.
Since they only have $51,000 to pay.
Players under the age of 25, 4. Tradable first-round picks, 3. And players on rookie-scale contracts, 3. Omax, Hardy, and Derek Lively. And it's the should they rebuild. That's the question. Should they rebuild?
Because Tim Bontemps, ESPN, I respect his basketball brain. He said, absolutely. This should be the last game that Anthony Davis plays for the Dallas Mavericks because you cannot count on Kyrie returning to form next year.
Right. You have to. Like, I know when you made the trade, it was a win. That you said it was win now. I know that was the belief when you made the trade. But things change.
It was not the belief when he made the trade. That's his propaganda. That's his propaganda. They knew better.
Yes, that was his propaganda.
They knew better than what?
Then that was about win now. You didn't like Luka. You wanted him out of here. That's what it was about.
So you made the trade. I get it. Can't do anything about it. But things have changed. You know, nothing is what it was at the moment. So you now have.
Well, really, one thing has changed.
Well, Kyrie got hurt.
That's it. That to me answers this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If Kyrie Irving, if you believe he can return to form after missing, 20% of next season, you can keep it together and try to contend.
The likelihood is that you should not expect anything from him until the 26-27 season. Right? With the injury, because he's not going to be 100% next year. And you're going to sign him.
Some of the takes on the fan text, 469, MFFL, and former season ticket holder going in a Cade jersey rooting for Detroit tonight. 817, the Mavs don't need to be in contender or rebuild mode. They need to be in a rebrand mode. That's probably the biggest thing they need right now. They absolutely do need an entire image rehab this offseason.
Do you think, based upon Kyrie projection, Bobby Belt, that they should trade Anthony Davis this offseason? And then tell Kyrie, and then that would tell Kyrie, don't opt back in.
I think they should trade, regardless of how they look at the outlook of the franchise, I think they should trade Anthony Davis. I don't think the trade should have ever happened because you can't rely on whatever you're relying on him to be. You can't because of his injury history. And so to me, I would just say, whether you want to rebuild or you want to extend a contender window or whatever you want to do, I think all of those need to add up to Anthony Davis's trade.
Here is what they write. And the first sentence just reminds you of what they did. It's hard to believe this question should be asked given where they were in the NBA Finals last June. And that just, it just reminds you, like, dude, they were there. They were right there. They traded Luka, ACL tear for Kyrie, likely most of 25-26. It's a legit storyline. They are out several draft picks moving forward. Nico has this as a 3-4-year window. He declared that when he traded for AD. The first 2 years of that window will now all but certainly end without a real shot. If they turned around and moved Davis this summer, it would get a ton of return. As it stands, they'll try to build around him moving forward, limited assets while attempting to replace his injury production from Kyrie in the backcourt, making a thin needle even more difficult to thread. That's a depressing write-up.
They'll never do it because Nico has to save face with the current crew, but if they did it, I would understand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the question of whether you should re-sign Kyrie or not. Bontemps is like, no, you absolutely do not give Kyrie Irving that contract and money. And I was looking at it as Kyrie doing us a favor if he opted back in.
If he opted in, he would be doing a favor. Listen, the Mavericks also, like, they almost have to re-sign him. Otherwise, they will lose whatever fan base is left. If they don't anything this offseason, if they don't trade, if you trade Anthony Davis and you don't re-sign Kyrie, that's, you can at least say, hey, look, you know what? We made a mistake. We're going to build to the future. We made a mistake. We admit it. But if you keep AD, right, and you don't re-sign Kyrie, you've lost your fan base.
It's just, they've dug themselves such a hole. And there's no easy way out of it. And I don't think their egos will allow them to get out of it or to do the things necessary to get out of it. And the problem is in order to get out of it, you probably have to take even more steps back right now, which will just give people more reason to go, see, you did something else again. Now you're doing this. Now you're doing that. And it just, they blew it.
They really did blow it.
They stumbled into something.
Here's how bad it is. Every week you come up with a new way because we're in talk radio. You got to refresh the way to discuss it. Did Nico Harrison ever think he would make a move and not be able to sit in the arena again?
No chance.
Nico's not sitting in the seat.
No.
He has to hide. He's hiding watching games at the AAC. His safe place is on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think
No.
that you wouldn't be able to sit in your seat again? And that's not going to change probably next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if Nico Harrison walks to his seat, be prepared to watch a ton of fan ejections with people yelling and screaming. But did you ever think you wouldn't be able to sit down in the AAC again?
No.
That's how I refresh that trade today.
Yeah. I mean,
someone goes, oh, nice Mamba mentality. You're back in the player entrance.
That's not cooling off at all. There's been no letdown. The constant front of the mind aspect of it has slipped probably a little bit. But it's still, whenever it comes up, people go, oh, yeah, I'm pissed at him. I'm that angry at him all the time. My favorite analogy I saw recently on Reddit, somebody was like talking about, they're like, gosh, going from Dirk to Luka, that was like finding $100 million, just finding it, and then you gave it away. And somebody said, no, for Nico, it was like finding 100 million euros on the sidewalk, but not wanting to deal with the exchange rates or flying to Europe. So he decided to call his best friend and say, hey, will you give me $20 for this? That's what he did.
All right, so there it is. Should the Mavs be on the rebuild list or not? Did you just get a travel warning issued for everyone this weekend?
I didn't do it. It was not me. I was not the one who had issued the travel warning, but we are actually getting travel warnings. Typically, whenever we hear about travel warnings, it's from the United States, and it'll be, hey, watch out for some areas of Mexico. You don't want to deal with the cartel. Hey, watch out if you're going to this part of the country because you're going to have to be dealing with, or this part of the world because you're going to have to deal with infectious diseases or things like that. Britain and Germany both issued travel warnings for the United States to their citizens yesterday. Both of them are issuing them not for any sort of infectious disease or terrorism or anything like that. No, it's like, guys, they are cracking down aggressive immigration and customs policies. Oh. And so they are warning their residents, quote, the U.S. sets and enforces entry rules strictly. You may be liable to arrest or detention if you break the rules. So they're like, if you don't have everything in order the way you need to be, if you're not checking every box, dotting every I, crossing every T, you are at risk for being held. And so we recommend you just don't go right now.
My father has issued a travel warning to me. He's not speaking to me right now.
Oh, no.
Had a little fight the other day.
Because you're going to San Antonio?
What's that?
Because you're going to San Antonio?
No, because, well, he doesn't know about that.
Oh.
But that's a drive.
He does now.
He doesn't listen. I'm flying to Maryland in June. And every day he has texted my wife, not me, a different plane crash story. And he is telling me and trying to convince me, cancel it. Don't put your grandkids. And I'm like, I'm still coming. I'm coming there. I'm bringing the in-laws and flying the whole family out. And he's very mad. He's a super crazy worrier. He's like, we'll just fly there. We're old. If we die, it doesn't matter. Hey, you can't have anything happen to your kids. And I'm like, no, we're coming. Like, end of discussion. Stop sending my wife really dark, ugly story. She is not going to cancel it. And he's not happy. So he's not speaking to me right now. That was his travel warning.
There's like 5,000 plane crashes every year.
I mean, it does.
Of the small, you know, like not incidents. How about that?
Yeah.
Incidents.
But it does just seem like it's gone through the roof. Like the trains a couple years ago.
Yeah.
All the trains were derailing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, is it being reported more? You know, you said you have a buddy in the aviation business saying you wouldn't believe how many of these issues always take place. To me, it's like, all right, when is this ever going to... It's like buying a house. Well, just wait for the market. Or how long do I have to wait? When is it officially changing? I guess Peyton Russell can tell us because he's getting his house. When are these flight issues going to end? I'm not going to not fly for the rest of my life.
Right. Yeah, and like, you know, every little flight issue is an incident, so...
Not going to let the aviationists win!
A landing where there's a...
Not going to let the DEI hires win!
Yeah, there's a landing where there's a go-around.
Jackie Robinson topic next.
Oh, man. A landing where there's a go-around is an incident, right? And it's just whether it gets reported or not.
What's your 1 to 10 concern level flying these days?
The same as when you asked me when we went to Indy.
It was 2, I think, that day. So it's still a 2?
2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a bumpy ride going into Indy.
Yeah, but that's not the plane's fault. That's the wind.
I mean, look. The plane has to weather the wind.
It has to weather the wind.
Why one new cowboy can't stop raving about Brian Schottenheimer. Next, in Below the Belt, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, there is one new Cowboys player who loves Brian Schottenheimer. So we know he's got at least one big super fan out there from free agency. We'll talk about that here in just a second on Below the Belt, which is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, a first-class buying experience. Before we get into the player that loves Brian Schottenheimer, who was talking to the media yesterday, you had said something earlier today, Sean, that like triggered my memory. We were talking about the Joe Milton trade, potentially.
Jeremy Fowler saying the Cowboys could be interested in the Patriots backup.
And Joe Milton is a guy who he started... gaining some momentum as like, oh, they may have found a diamond in the rough there in New England. And it made me think back to, man, Belichick had always seemed like had some backup quarterback that he was going to like hold hostage for the rest of the league, like Ryan Mallett or Brian Hoyer. And I was like,
Garoppolo.
Thinking, yeah, Garoppolo. And I was trying to think, is that just the norm for them? So I was going back through their draft history. Bill Belichick has, and everybody remembers Brady, but he has one of the most unique runs of drafting quarterbacks I've ever seen. 2000, they picked Tom Brady in the 6th round.
Tom Brady.
Obviously. Greatest quarterback of all time.
That was a hit, right?
Big time hit. Big time hit.
Did he win? He won a
Super Bowl. He won or two.
Definitely not three.
No. 2002, Rohan Davey from LSU. That didn't do anything. But then he goes right after that, and the run of quarterbacks he takes in the draft. Cliff Kingsbury in 2003. Goes on to be head coach. One of the top offensive coordinators in the NFL now. 2005, he picks Matt Castle in the 7th round. Matt Castle goes on to be a Pro Bowler in Kansas City, won 11 games for the Patriots. Good player. 2008, Kevin O'Connell, arguably, top 3 head coach in the NFL right now? Then he goes ahead and he picks Zach Robinson in the seventh round of 2010, the star offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. Then the next quarterback he takes is Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014, who makes Super Bowls, gets held hostage for the rest of the league. I don't know that there's anybody who's had a run of just like basically six straight quarterbacks they picked that they were like, that was either an above average or pretty good player at the position, or they became one of the top coaches in the NFL. And he's always thought of as such a dinosaur offensively.
Yeah, but none of that is impressive to me for the Patriots' purposes.
Oh, yeah, for their purposes, no.
Whoop-de-doo, they all went on to become coaches.
Literally just about Belichick is all I'm saying. Is that Belichick...
Like, no credit to him for picking the next coach.
No, but he was, just in general, as such a dinosaur offensively, the fact that apparently he picked all of the next new wave of bright minds or guys who played well in the modern era.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, but it is interesting that they did run into that six or seven...
That they had that QBs. Little run of it. Yeah that little absolutely. Run. Absolutely. Dante Fowler and...
I have a bell, too.
Yeah, I know. That one, though, when you hit it, it then breaks, and you have to... Yep, now you can't hit it again. It won't let you. Oh, damn it. They fixed it.
Man up.
Crap. Yesterday, Paris Campbell, the new wide receiver for the Cowboys, who they signed, and Dante Fowler in his return to Dallas, they spoke with the media yesterday, and there were some of the quotes that came out of it, and Paris Campbell, my goodness, just absolutely loves Brian Schottenheimer. He said that when he got signed or when he came to the Cowboys, he said, quote, I didn't know who was going to call or any of that, but I get a call and it's from the head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. We had a conversation probably for about 30, 35 minutes, just talking about life, talking about ball, talking about opportunity. Clayton Adams, who's the offensive coordinator, I was with him in Indianapolis all 4 years, so I had a relationship there. That's a big reason why I decided to come to Dallas. It was a great conversation that got me excited. And then he followed back up on the Brian Schottenheimer part, and he said, it's rare during free agency to have a head coach call you, so that stood out to me. I think the big thing is the speed that I bring. I was talking to Shoddy and Clayton Adams, and some of the stuff they're trying to add this year to the offense definitely suits my abilities, like runaways and crossers, speed routes. So a couple different interesting things there. One, I don't think Mike McCarthy or Jason Garrett, for that matter, or a lot of head coaches like Paris Campbell says, I don't think a lot of them are typically will reach out and be proactive with a free agent they're trying to sign and just say, hey, I just want to chat with you, tell you we really like you and we have a vision for you and it'd be great if you would come here. And so that stood out to Paris Campbell. That's the kind of thing about people connections and the way that he connects with players and shows them like, hey, I care for you and I've got a plan for you. That's the kind of stuff that he clearly made a big item for himself when he talked to the Joneses and when he was in the press conference.
Look, this much I can guarantee I'll be severely disappointed if this comes up short. Brian Schottenheimer will blow away Mike McCarthy and Jason Garrett every single week with his radio show interview on this program. Yep. And Mike was pretty good. Jason was boring, robotic. Mike was much better. Brian Schottenheimer, I think, is going to be incredible. Yeah. For whatever that's worth. Again, that could be like your Belichick coaching stat. Doesn't mean anything. But for our...
screw you. It was a great stat.
I'm sure Rex Ryan was great on the radio.
Yeah.
You know?
All-time great.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was... I mean,
he had a good
run with the Jets. Yeah. He was not very good at Buffalo. He had his moments. But, yeah, I'm sure there's great...
Mike McDaniel.
Bill's a terrible interview. And he's a great head coach.
Was.
You know, so there are plenty of guys. You know, Pete Carroll is probably both. Great head coach, great interview.
Well, no, and I will say this, is that you mentioned Rex had his run there and it was good.
Ryan's just going to be real.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to be really real and authentic.
Yeah, I think he'll, and the other big thing here is I think he's going to.
When's our lunch, by the way?
We need to find that out. I need to reach out. I think that another big part of this is he has a thick skin. I think he realized, like, yeah, I mean, whatever you want to
throw at him. How do you know that?
Because he dealt with the media the last 2 years on Mondays, and he was very...
Brian?
Yeah. Okay. There were a lot of times where he would be more critical than the question was. So he may be like, somebody would ask him a question, he'll be like, yeah, we sucked yesterday. You can say it. We did. We sucked. Like, and he's...
Different getting as a coordinator.
It is, but I also think that he spent so much time around the NFL, and again, he came from the Jets, his dad, everything else. Like, I think he's got enough of an idea of like what's reasonable to expect in this job that at the very least, I don't think anything is going to surprise him necessarily about it. I think there were things that surprised Mike McCarthy about being here. I think he adjusted to be honest, I think he adjusted pretty well by year five to what it meant to be here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think he came all the way around.
I think it's very difficult to truly know what it's like in any place. You'll never know what it's like to be the Lakers head coach or the manager of the Yankees or the head coach of the Cowboys until you're there. You know, until you're there. I don't think you know what it's like to be the head coach of Kentucky basketball until you're the head coach of Kentucky basketball.
Sure, yeah.
So I think a lot of that plays into it. And, you know, coming from Green Bay, and it's not like Mike was only in Green Bay. I mean, he was in San Fran, he was in New Orleans, he was elsewhere.
Yeah.
But
he was just in Green Bay for 15 years. That's a long time to change your expectations.
It's a long time.
Yeah. But the other thing I like that he mentions here, Paris Campbell, he talks about crossers and speed routes and different things. So you're talking about 10 to 12 yard speed outs, the deep crossers where you get guys going in different directions. That's something where the deep crossers were out of the playbook with McCarthy when Kellen Moore left. That was something that the offense really liked. Dak liked that a lot. The receivers hit on a lot of those plays frequently. Kellen Moore still consistently uses those or did use those in Philadelphia. I imagine he'll keep using them in New Orleans. And that's something that felt like it was a glaring, like a glaring omission from the Cowboys offense the last 2 years. Even when they had success, it was like, where did that go? Everybody seemed pretty comfortable with that. So the fact that Paris Campbell's saying, hey, part of my conversation with Clayton Adams and Brian Schottenheimer is that that's coming back. That's encouraging.
What would be the philosophical reason for not having a deep crossing route?
Deep crossing routes, the reason why you may not, especially within McCarthy's system, is because it's so
takes time.
Because it's so timing based with the footwork and everything else. It's just slower developing, especially if you don't trust the offensive line. It can cause a problem there. Dante Fowler had also spoke to the media. He said that he's gotten a chance to speak with Matt Eberflus, said he was excited to talk to him. He said from what Eberflus told him, this is going to be a fast, physical defense. That's like going to be the big hallmarks, which if you remember when Eberflus was here and a couple years after that when Marinelli was getting near the end, which Rod Marinelli is Matt Eberflus's biggest influence, that was a big thing that we always talked about then was they were really fast. They did emphasize a lot of speed and aggressiveness and charge at the ball. The problems you cause there at times are over-pursuit. If you're a little reckless and you're playing a little out of control, that can cause a problem. But he said, I'm a hybrid. I can adjust to anything. I've got experience with Aaron Whitecotton. He was my first defensive line coach when I was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Whatever the scheme is, I'll adjust and adapt to it and be ready to go. I think that he's somebody who Dante Fowler is going to be used largely as a situational pass rusher. But given the way he's talking, I wonder if they have more three-down purposes for him a little bit more consistently.
Situational.
Huh. Yeah. So that's typically been his MO the last 5 years is just, hey, third down pass rushing situations or maybe obvious passing situations given score, time of the game, different things like that. That's why he's kind of always been a rotational player rather than one that's in there 80% of the snaps. And so, but if they're planning on using him in different ways in coverage potentially or you know, playing him on both edge setting and run defending versus also maybe some two gapping or different things like that, I do wonder if it sounds like from what he's saying there that they've told him, hey, you're going to be heavy in rotation here and playing a very primary role. The latest mock draft really quickly from The Athletic. Uh-oh. This is interesting because these are my favorite mock drafts to see. Thank you. The Athletic does this one with their beat writers. And I think this is usually, if you were to gauge it, the most accurate mock drafts are the ones that are done by beat writers where you tell somebody, hey, these are the players off the board. Who would they take here? And so usually if you can get one of those put together, they give you, I think, a pretty accurate representation. With that said, The Athletic just did theirs. Cam Ward to the Titans won. No surprise. Giants take Shedeur Sanders. They did mention in this article, they said if the Giants could trade up to one and get Cam Ward, they would. And so that they would have Cam Ward above Shedeur Sanders. Travis Hunter to the Patriots. Number six, the Raiders. Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan. So not Ashton Jeanty. Jeanty falls down a little bit further. He gets snatched up at 10 by the Bears, though. And then the Dallas Cowboys are picking at number 12, and they get mocked to them. Tetaroa McMillan, wide receiver from Arizona.
Is McMillan or Hampton? McMillan,
that's it.
Hampton,
that's all
Jeanty.
You see.
Jeanty, would, McMillan, Hampton.
I would absolutely love McMillan here. I think there are fans in the Cowboys, you know, personnel department that really like McMillan. I just wonder if they're going to look at it and say, guys, we have so many other things that we need to get done. And we can find a receiver in the second round, or we can find a receiver in third. Or look, we've got some bases covered here. We traded for Mingo. I wonder if they're going to look at that and just say, we've got to prioritize something like defensive tackle or offensive line.
B-Low, D-Belt, every single day at this time on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys Insider final hour of the week as RJ gets you ready for the madness of day two. How your bracket's looking after yesterday. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.